In today's episode, I take a shot at the music industry, Samantha buys hella merch, and Mike thinks the whole thing's a ripoff. This is Dead Space.
Cassette, because I think for that soundtrack, cassette would be the best medium.
It would be thematic, yeah, definitely. All right. Well, I'm trying to think. I'm not trying to do a transition.
Wow, we're doing things differently here. Dead air.
Yeah. Well, today, welcome to Funsphere Game Club. And, you know what, I'm just, fuck it, I'm jumping right in. We're talking about Dead Space today.
You can always start it with his running out of oxygen.
Yes.
As soon as that started, I was like, I'm done with you.
Okay.
Game.
So, you can say that part made you super tense, right? It's almost like they thematically designed it to be that
way. It's almost like they designed it just to piss me off.
All right. Well, like I said, this is our first episode of a new format, so we're just going to be trying stuff a little bit differently. Typically, I would be giving you a rundown of the game at this point, but I'm not going to. We're just going to talk about it and our experience with playing it and thoughts that we have involving the game and stuff like that. So I welcome either of you to go ahead and get started if you want to. I mean, Samantha, you already had a good jumping off point that... the oxygen stuff makes you tense and the game pissed you off. So tell us about your experience playing it.
Well, I'm glad that I've played some games other than Final Fantasy in my life. Otherwise, I would have had a very difficult time with this game. But
as your podcast partners, we are also happy that you've played other games besides Final Fantasy.
But
variety is the fruit of life.
Indeed.
I thought it was spice. The spice of life.
We just made a new one.
Oh, all right. Variety is the fruit of life. Yeah, anyway. It was fun. I thought it was kind of loud, honestly.
Okay.
I agree.
Now, can I ask, because I have some stuff about to say regarding the sound in this game. Are you talking about the sound effects were loud, the music was loud, or
the freaks mixed. Were loud? Especially many.
Poorly mixed, you say.
Upset. Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The balance is off, but not in the way that makes sense, like, oh, well, some stuff's out to shock you, so it'll be subtly louder. Like, going from room to room, there would be some stuff that is completely unnecessary to the story that is... way louder than it needs to be, and then important things are not nearly as loud as they should be.
See, Josh, because you mentioned that you want to talk about the sound design and stuff, I feel like that is what I focused on.
Yeah.
Okay. So now most of our comments are going to be about the sound.
Yeah.
Where
yes.
I do think the voice acting being kind of like tinny and weird, I did like that.
Okay.
But I one little nitpick I had was like the menu sound, mm-hmm. the like bloop bloop bloop. I thought that was far too whimsical.
Really?
Okay. Well, and far too aggressive too. Every time you pause. Ask Angela. She will tell you. I was like, I swear to God, I'm not going to look at the menu anymore. It is such a piercing sound.
Okay, so I've got a quick question for you guys. I'm pretty sure I know how Mike played the game. Samantha, you played it on your PC, right?
Yeah.
When you play your games, do you use speakers or do you use headphones?
Usually I use speakers because
okay.
all headphones hurt my ears.
Gotcha. Mike, you probably just use the TV speakers, is that correct?
No, I have a soundbar.
Okay, you have a soundbar. All right. The reason I'm asking this question is because I think that the sound design in this game is phenomenal. And just so you know, Mike, several Game of the Year awards and publications agree with me because this freaking game won about everything for its sound design. So it's poorly mixed that you say, I think that is...
I can see what your argument is, but that is not a fair argument. It's like people doing records for like over half a century now, mm-hmm. and the whole thing in mind is what is your main audience gonna be? You need to mix to their level. Like when you produce an album, you don't just listen to the biggest ass best stereo sound configuration and design your whole album towards that. No, mm-hmm. you shop it around shitty speakers, you shop it around your phone speakers, you shop it around in your car. Like that was not done clearly.
Actually, I was getting to that point, Mike, that I think the differences in our playing game and listen to the sound might have made a difference in our interpretation of the sound. So I am going to go to my notes real quick just about the sound design. These guys, it seems like they wanted to make it almost the biggest part of setting the scenario was the sound design. They went for something called emphasizing. They wanted to emphasize realism. So it's like when you go into zero G, everything gets muted. You don't hear anything except what's coming in from the suit. They also, of course, did all this sound stuff to kind of think about the player directly and like make stuff tense and stuff like that. They developed special tools. Sound tools. They had one called the Fear Emitter, the Creepy Ambient Patch, and the Visual Effects, apparently, sound tools. So where I was going with all this was I was thinking about the reason I asked it about how we played the game and the sound systems we have is I recently made a upgrade to my sound system, and I move stuff around in my room that I play my games in. And I remember back playing this game in 2008 when it came out, and I just first kind of got my sound system set up, and I just got my first high-def TV. So I remember playing it and being really creeped out because I have 5.1 surround sound in the room. And playing it this time, where I've made an upgrade to my center speaker, and I've moved speakers around to different distances and stuff like that, made it even better. Like, this game, I'll just be honest, it terrifies me. I love the game. I won't play it without the lights on. I won't play it. I'll be the first to admit, I am a jump scare scaredy cat. I'm the guy in the movie theater throwing the popcorn 6 feet in the air because a ghost popped up and said boo. So, like, the sound on this, because of the way I'm dealing with it, is just perfect. Like, one of these tools, I think it was the one that was called the Fear Emitter, it basically measured the sound from the enemy to you. And, like, so it would choose to play it in, like, your back rear speaker if it was behind you and to your right. And that is just terrifying when you're in a room by yourself playing this game. So, like, that's why I wanted to bring up sound design so much, is because out of all the games that we played, there's always been a emphasis on graphics, of everything looking better, looking more realistic and stuff like that. And I think sound is one of those things that sometimes people put emphasis in it and sometimes they don't. And when they really do, it really shines through in a game to me. What do you guys think about this type of stuff?
Go ahead, Samantha.
I was going to say, in general?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It can make or break an experience, obviously.
And I want to put, like, the biggest criticism I have for that is, like, the AAA guys, like, they work to have it stereo 2.0. Like, they're like, yeah, that's good enough. But because apparently part of it technical is, if you have a really good sound design in a game, it actually pulls RAM and stuff away from the game itself. And that's actually kind of one of the reasons this game looks a little janky. There's some other reasons, too. but apparently, the indie scene, though, I will give a huge shout-out to, because a lot of those games, you play them basically solely on the sound. Like, there's certain games that even recommend using headphones to get you in a certain type of sound space and stuff like that. So, I just think it's weird, like, the AAA guys, like, the sound design for them is probably on the back burner of back burners.
Well, you have to understand, like you said, they develop proprietary stuff. Yeah. I don't know if that was because of the game engine they were using or what,
mm-hmm.
but it sounds like it was proprietary software. This was still, what, 2006 when they started working on it?
Yeah, this actually had a really short development time from initial pitch to launch in 18 months. And to give you kind of a quick update on the development and stuff, this was developed to run on the original Xbox. It wasn't developed especially for the Xbox 360. It was developed by EA Redwood, who would become Visceral Studios, on the engine that they developed for a licensed movie game, The Godfather. And that game sucked, by the way. I played that game. It was pretty terrible. So it's running on, like, the game being as good as it is to me is weird because it's running on a past-gen engine, and you can definitely see it on bigger screens, especially now. But instead of, like, tightening up the graphics and running into the graphics war, they really emphasized on the sound. And I thought that was a way cool decision to make.
I think they had good ideas with the sound. I'm talking sheer execution of the sound is
okay.
The issue that I didn't get around. And like I said, if that was their thing as they developed it for the bigger systems, no thought or consideration was put into, like, evening that stuff out on people who were playing it through TV speakers or with headphones. Like, and it's not a, and I would have to listen to it in your surround sound to, like, say for sure, but I don't think that it would change, like, the, like, sheer dramatic, like, volume spikes that some stuff has and some stuff doesn't. Like, there's no reason why the menu pause that we talked about needs to be an ear-piercing thing that happens.
Okay, so I will give you, there is a sound effect or two that really does come across as really loud. But I think that works really well in a horror game where everything is designed to keep you tense and on the tip of your toes, basically. And I want to talk real quick about the heads-up design and stuff like that. Was this not the coolest, like, menu system and text system and video system that you've ever seen in a game?
I am so glad you brought that up, because okay, it was my favorite when I saw it in Metroid Prime.
Oh! Okay.
Which they completely stole the aesthetic from. Font and all.
It was a nod.
Yeah, a blatant ass nod.
Just like Deadly Premonition was to Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Right?
I would like to remind you that creator has never seen Twin Peaks, and his lawyers will be quick to affirm that for
you. Oh, okay. Wow. I'm sure these guys have never played Metroid.
We know the truth.
Oh, well, apparently, Mike, they they listed their three big ones, and they're quick to be like, yeah, we totally.
BioShock, Metroid Prime.
You ready? No.
Space.
So,
yeah, I'm ready for what they had to
okay.
say.
All right, so BioShock kind of, because remember, BioShock is a homage to System Shock. They were actually working on a potential System Shock 3. They were making a pitch for it anyway.
Team was?
Yeah. Yeah, this is early on. This is before they kind of pivoted into what became Dead Space. But they really quick announced that, you know, we like Resident Evil. We like Silent
Hill.
Wait,
was this the same team?
Yeah. No. Let me rephrase that because I get your confusion. They were, I think EA had just purchased the rights to System Shock. So were saying, hey, since you guys have got the rights, let us make a game with it. So they mentioned Resident Evil, Silent Hill, and specifically Resident Evil 4. And boy, oh boy, do they lean hard into the Resident Evil 4.
Yeah,
so
I can
I'll give
see
you
that.
That.
I can really see that.
I got to say, I think the where you because you love Metroid Prime. I love Metroid Prime. That's a fair, I'll say, I don't want to call it criticism because I don't think they just yanked it. I think it is an homage to the sci-fi world that they live in. They're like, hey, this would kind of work that way in Dead Space, but it also happens to work the same way in Metroid. It's like, you know, you can't fault everyone that uses, I don't know, warp speed or something like that in theirs and say, oh, you just ripped off, Star Trek, I guess, was before Star Wars, and they had warp speed. So I see it just more as a coincidence more than anything else.
I don't think you're looking hard enough.
That's because one of us is looking to criticize the game, and one of us is looking to praise the game.
Hi, my name is Josh.
Hi, I'm Mike. Look at that, guys. That's to show you how different these formats are. I leaned into that joke that I hate oh so much. But like I said, I think that they
Mike would never hate that.
He would never hate that? No, that's what Josh does. Like I said, I think they definitely leaned hard into their originations, and not just with games, mind you. They also listed the following films as being heavily, heavily influential on the game itself.
Stuart Little. And,
Stuart Little, you know what? Didn't show up. I can see wow, that is a pull. And a half. Like, I can't even, like, think of... I was like, there's those tiny little monsters, I guess. They're about the size of Stuart Little.
Ron Howard's Grinch.
Okay. Because it's terrifying, yes. So, real quick, just a list of the movies that they said they got inspiration from. Event Horizon. I don't know if you guys have seen Event Horizon, but yeah.
Nope.
Okay, surprising no one, Alien and the Alien series.
I gotta say, I tried to watch the first one, but I guess I just was not in the mood. And I tried to watch it last night, but it's not available anywhere without paying money for it.
I will have to let you borrow my Blu-ray. I love the Aliens movies. Like I said, I like horror movies.
Slow.
Yeah, that's Alien itself is the depressing kind of future, I think, is also a big influence on this because the world of Dead Space sucks, and not just for the monsters.
No, I said slow.
Yeah.
Like, the pace of that movie was so slow that I could not continue to see what got good about it. That, I will say, is me. I was not in the right mindset to watch that kind of movie whenever I started it.
Okay.
The cat.
And I tried to watch it, but make your shit available. Yet another greedy corporate tactic. Pulling all the scary movies right before Halloween.
I was gonna say
now we're gonna make it for sale.
You know
it
what?
Was streaming all year long.
The new Scooby Doo movie came out. It's a crossover with Courage the Cowardly Dog, and I couldn't rent it. I had to pay $14.99 to watch that.
What a sucker.
been looking forward to it.
You are the reason why this stuff still happens to be the way it is.
All right, so Mike,
you held steadfast.
No.
You do not pay money.
All right, so let me just ask you a question then, Mike, because that's just a good general question. So you're saying that people should only stream movies, that buying movies and stuff like that is a negative effect?
We're already paying.
Yeah, but stuff like that is complicated. It's not like you
All right.
No, I'm serious.
I know where you're going.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. I mean,
when it comes to my like my favorite artists, then I will support them. But when you know it's already going to be a roll of the dice, then I don't believe it's a good tactic. Because how many times have you been proven right when you take that? I mean, Samantha, you had to know that it wasn't going to be worth it. Or you had an idea that it probably wouldn't be worth it. You just couldn't help yourself.
I really wanted to watch it.
But was it worth it? Was it worth the $14.99?
Okay.
You know what? I think
Was Mulan worth the $30?
No. Mulan
okay, so
wasn't.
We can roll this all back into the beginning here. So remember how we started talking about tapes and CDs and stuff like that? That's the only way that we had access to music.
We've evolved.
Okay. But also, we talk about video games where limited printing and limited copies is part and parcel for games even to this day. We have to resort to semi-illegal and totally illegal, backup ROMs and stuff like that for old school games. But, you know, every now and then there's still a game that only doesn't sell well, and because it doesn't sell well, the copies are rare and stuff like that. So, you know,
that is not this argument at all.
I only buy physical copies of games that I love.
Okay, so Mike, is your criticism then? So you paid $14.99 for a digital copy, correct, Samantha?
Hell yeah.
Okay, so Mike, is your problem with it just because she paid $14.99 for something she doesn't physically own? Because you and I
it's because it was something I wasn't sure I was going to like. So normally I rent the Scooby-Doo movies for $3 because I feel like that. I mean, I know I'm going to get $3 worth of entertainment out of them.
Okay.
I'm saying I'm paying for what, four or five streaming networks that this is the argument I was making.
Okay.
This movie has been available for a good amount of time. They just pulled it right before a lot of people got the inkling to watch it. It's the same reason why, like...
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Once the new Batman comes out, it'll probably disappear. Like all the older Batmans. It's a cash grab.
Okay. I got you. I follow. Like, I thought you were trying to make the argument about, like, digital versus physical stuff.
No.
My apologies.
I always adopt the physical version. Well, I mean, even the big thing for me is, like, Spotify. Spotify, as a human being,
yeah,
it's nice.
Yes.
Like, it's so convenient having all your stuff there. But I know it's super shitty to the artists.
Okay.
So anything that I genuinely love, that even if I find it on Spotify, that's where I discover it, I will go back and give them the money that the artist deserves. Like, give the artist the money, not give Spotify more money.
Before, Spotify used to steal a lot of music. And so this one artist I really like, I went to her concert and I just bought hella merch to make up for all the years of stealing the albums.
So here's the thing with all this for me. I'm fine with going back and buying a copy of a movie. I'm okay with going back and buying a copy of a game. Music for me, though, that industry was crooked for so many years. Fuck 'em, is the way I look at it. And, like, even...
That's not the artist's fault, though.
Well, they shouldn't... How
they shouldn't be singers.
Oh my god. It's either that or they have no way to reach you, the person who they like, that's why they're creating.
But they have every avenue available. They just can't make as much money. Or let me rephrase that. They and the music industry just can't make as much money anymore because people got fed up with it. And
that's not the artist's fault, though. And you shouldn't punish the artist for that very skewed logic.
I'm taking you on my worldview. That's all I'm doing here. That's all I'm doing.
Well, it's a very skewed one, Josh.
Yes, it is.
I think you should seek help.
That's all this podcast is a free therapy session for me. That's, you guys haven't picked up on that yet? Oh. Oh, well. So, back to the game that we were kind of sort of talking about a little bit.
Oh.
But,
have we even said the name of this
game?
Yeah, we said Dead Space.
We said it at the beginning.
Dead Space 1 only?
Yep.
The one... Go on.
I also was going to ask you guys to think about like horror games of the past. Do you think this was a good next generation? And I don't mean that like for consoles. I mean like a next logical progression in games from Resident Evil, Silent Hill. This one moved into what I think maybe one of the very first sci-fi horror games, except for, I guess, System Shock before it. Like, I loved it, like, because it played with a lot of my perceptions, especially in 2008, where the bread and butter of all these, of the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 was shooters, right? We moved from the PlayStation 2 and into the, and they were just rife with shooters. This game will punish you if you try to play it like a shooter. It will flat out mess you up. So I thought that that was a great addition at the time. Am I kind of alone on that, or like, did you just view this more as an action game?
No, I. And don't get me wrong, I'm gonna have a lot of complaints about this game, but I still think that in the time that I played it, and like me replaying it now, it's still like they set out to do something. Albeit very, very borrowed. But they still, like, they ended up with something that, it's still fun. It's still enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of good that they did. I just, when it comes to truly celebrating the game, that's where I start to have my, but...
Okay. Like I said, I don't want anyone to think like this is my top 10 games of all time or not. It's not.
Don't even think that.
Don't even. Not even for a moment. But no, it was definitely one of my favorite early games of that console generation, cuz like I said, this is 2008 and it's definitely showing its seams.
The opening, she's like, "Help me."
Yeah, and I am, of course, I'm super stoked for the remake, because I think with a little more polish, this game will be well-loved again. And another thing to kind of lean into Mike's stuff about, you know, like, wait, this wasn't that big of a deal or a huge game or stuff like that. I am very critical of the two sequels that follow, because I think that they skewed away from what we had. But I don't know if you could... make sequels to this game. I'm a firm believer, as much as I enjoy playing Dead Space 2, it's a fun action game. I like it in the same way that I like Resident Evil 4 versus Resident Evil 2. Resident Evil 2 is still a horror game at its core concept. Resident Evil 4 was more action based. Dead Space is definitely way, way more into the horror and the horror. Survival horror genre than Dead Space 2 is. And Dead Space 3 is a masterclass of what happens when a publisher decides to dictate all the terms of a game for the franchise. And
to circle back to the music industry, you want to talk about how that got ruined?
Yeah.
We're already seeing that same shit happen, and that is EA.
Yes.
That is Ubisoft.
Yes. And so,
or Ubisoft.
Madden, right? Madden?
Yes.
It's bad?
Yeah, the current one is apparently not doing too well in the reviews.
They're still making that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, they will make that until the heat death of the universe, my friend.
It's the same.
Get in the game.
They just, I guess, just have one, and they are now just changing the year and painting over old assets, but sometimes they forget some.
Yeah, that's but
that's been going on for over a decade, though.
One decade is being generous, Mike. I'd say several decades at this point.
It's just one game.
Yeah. And then, like, to think about it, and the Madden scale is even more, like, prolific on the FIFA world stage. Like, you know, we think it's funny when it happens to Madden, but to, again, circle back to Dead Space, like I said, this is a series that definitely had potential, had a strong opening game, and then was watered down and corporatized to the full-blown closing of the studio that made this game. Like, they don't exist. The guys that are handling the remake are some guys that worked on the original game, but Visceral is dead and skewered because of the EA mandates about this needs to be a online multiplayer game. It needs to be a co-op game. I'm sorry, survival horror does not work in that way. Luckily, Capcom learned that after Resident Evil 6 too, so
marketing and sales execs just kill everything.
Like I said, it's not an enviable job, because without them, the game doesn't get out there, and, you know, no one makes any money. But they can sometimes, to pull back to the music industry, like Mike was talking about, when those guys own all the rights and they, like, you need this many tracks, you need to put out a CD this many years, that's where you get bad music and stuff like that. And
well, there are too many people making decisions that should not be making those decisions. Like,
right.
Once you get into that grand of a scale.
Yeah.
And have those many people involved, like, there needs to be a trust and an understanding between the different departments. And then there needs to be a ton of communication. I've seen it in every, like, bigger company I've worked for. You never see that. Like, interdepartmentally,
yeah.
Nobody communicates. And then it's all bottlenecking at the very top, where it's one dickhead who's like, no. Multiplayer shooters are cool this year, so it's going to be a multiplayer shooter. And shit rolls downhill. So everybody's like, oh, my boss is asking for it, so it's just got to happen. It's got to happen. No, it needs to be a team of people who all represent their thing, who can clearly communicate.
Yep. Next thing you know, people are getting laid off and nobody even knew it was coming.
Yep. Like, right after the release of Dead Space 3 and its abysmal sales, like, they shuttered that studio. Like, done.
Man, marketing and salespeople, execs, their job should be to take what they're given and sell it, not give input.
Yep.
I hate you all. Go to hell.
That's the way it used to be, like, back in the day. But times change.
Or just have an understanding that, like, you are not meant to target a broader audience.
Yeah.
But then it's about money.
That is very much, because these things aren't cheap. Believe me, this is not that Stardew guy, one dude making a game for himself, you know, and then he made a ton of money off of it. This is a studio investing time in, you know, they have a right to expect a return on their investment. It's just every now and then you get that wonderful blend of, yeah, we're a big studio.
Well, I meant it's about money as in, like, it became more and more greedy.
Yeah.
About,
yeah.
Like, no, we need to profit that much more than
yes.
we are profiting.
And that shows in stages of this game. Like, if you ever wanted to have a huge discussion about studios interfering with their games and, like, ruining it for everyone, this is the example I'm going to give you, because Dead Space 1, it did technically have some DLC microtransactions, but these were, like, for skins, essentially. Like, you could download some suits and stuff like that. 2 had microtransactions for those same suits, but I think there was also, like, piddly stuff, like you could buy some weapons and stuff like that. 3 was just, I'm not even going to get into it, about how much nickel and diming they were going to be trying to do with that game. It's just, it's depressing. And like, so in a quick succession of years, so 2008 to 2013, Dead Space as a whole has its, I'll call it a meteoric rise and fall. Like, Dead Space 2, I remember being marketed like no other. And then Dead Space 3 was even worse. But because of the backlash of all the stuff that EA was putting in the game, or mandating was being put into the game, the fan base turned hard on this series. Like, 3 was met with revile that I can't remember the last game that was. Maybe Mass Effect 3? Like, the ending thing? I was like, that's the last time I remember people being this absolutely pissed at the product that came out the door. No, wait, no, I got one. It's, again, it's EA. Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Mm.
Yep, that one.
Is that one. The one that sort of turned everybody...
Yeah, I liked the first one. It was okay. It was a good little game. But then when I saw all the stuff that came out about the second one and was independently verified about, like, to unlock everything, it's like, yeah, you can totally do it. You'll have to spend 1,800 hours to do it without paying us extra money to unlock someone like Darth Vader or Luke Skywalker in that game. And I was like, yeah, I have zero interest in ever playing this game. And like, it's free to me, just available on the different game systems I've had. And I've seen it on sale for as less than a dollar.
Wow.
For the entire, because they're trying to get people into that economy of that game, because they want people to play it and then start paying them extra money.
It's a drug.
It is. And I'm like, nah.
You just need a little taste. It's all it takes to get you hooked.
Yeah,
it's, I mean, that is the that's the method for a lot of these games now.
It is, and it's like, if you start off, like, I don't want to defend free to play games and stuff like that, but if you charge someone a full price, I don't have a problem with you selling me DLC for additional story contents or additional skins or stuff like that, because it's always voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
If it's like, I enjoyed your game, I think that suit looks cool, I plan to play this game again, I will give you $4.99 for this suit. But like, when you start locking stuff behind those windows, that's where I draw the line.
Well, like, it does seem like at least some restrictions are being put in place in recent years, even as recent as, I think I read something about in Europe, anything that involves any gambling aspect is all like automatically rated a mature game. Even stuff like Pokemon, the original Pokemon would get, well, I think they went back on that and said like something that already did get a lower rating, they wouldn't bump it up. But anything new, like if you had a game center in the new Pokemon, it would be a mature rated game.
I thought it was if you had like loot boxes. Like, I know Overwatch, because you could buy loot boxes. That was technically gambling, since you're spending real money.
Yes.
Even well, the game center in Pokemon, it's anything that has any kind of gambling in it, from what I understood.
That's interesting.
Like I said, that's going to be interesting for games going forward. But like I said, this type of stuff started springing up in the Dead Space series. Dead Space 3 was rife with microtransactions and DLC stuff.
Rife. You know, the one thing in this game that made me go, ugh!
Mm-hmm.
Was when that doctor lady was just like, ha 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 ha, and then she slit her own throat.
Yeah.
So
same.
All right, so that's good. So you guys...
Well, and it was such a dumb thing, too, because... All right, and this... I gave them credit for it, even though I had a shitty experience with it, because they clearly designed that scene thinking you were going to stay put from the moment you walk into that room until everything happens. But I immediately walked around the glass to see her from the other side. So the entire time she keeps looking at the door away from me. And I see her slit her throat from her backside. So it was a... I mean, at that point, they should have just anchored you.
But then you would have been complaining about the forced.
Yeah, Mike would have definitely.
This is no winning for me in this game. They've stolen too much.
How dare you make me watch that?
Going back through it this time, I was like, man, I didn't think it was as gory as this. I remember it being more scary and less gory. But I guess that's just the way the human memory works, because it is definitely a gore fest in this. And I was like, this is almost a little bit over the top. Like, I thought it was a little more subtle than that. But going back through and playing it again, I was like, no, they got some gross stuff. I will say the creepiest one for me, and it happens early in the game, so it's not a huge spoiler or anything like that, is the guy.
Who gives a shit?
Is the guy that is just banging his head against the wall, and then just that final one, you're like, oh, it's messed up. Because that one, you do just, like, your natural inclination is, I don't want to move until whatever is happening here is done. That's the one that really, like, I remember as far as the horror aspect is, because that's pretty horrific. And then you see the guy is skinned on the other side. It's gross.
It's gratuitous. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Very great word. Wow. That is, I mean, can anybody top that? I don't know.
What?
No, you say.
I was just going to say, thinking back to the original question, which was this setting in, like, Silent Hill or whatever, like, space is never my, like, I'm not a big sci-fi person. There's some exceptions here and there, but I always prefer more, like, I guess Silent Hill type stuff.
Yeah.
But I always love big, you know, like, in the very beginning, like, big window, just sort of, you can see out into space and everything sort of slowly going, and just seeing how big everything is out there.
Yeah.
I like that. But I'm also learning that probably we should just never mine out in space, because it doesn't end well ever for anyone.
Nope. Like the film Alien taught us, and this game definitely.
And it's, The Expanse.
It's just not a good time. But I also view, like I said, I'm not a huge sci-fi person or anything like that as well. I mean, I have Star Wars, I consider its own little thing. But I do like when sci-fi has that tiny tinge of realism built into it. And, like, this seems like...
Nothing says real like little lobster men.
I was about to get to that point. I was like, with the exception of the alien virus, like, the world, like, these gigantic corporations, having these gigantic mining ships, and these ships have to basically be cities and stuff like that, and, like, how industrial it all looks, and that, how that makes this immediately creepy. I was like, that is plausible as much as any aspect of, like...
Well, and it's kind of a bummer that they, like, all of the... That seems like what they spent the most time doing was rationalizing a scenario for this game to take place. And all of it is just thrown in for this tiny little intro. Like, that... If this game happened now, which it's going to be happening again, so maybe they'll do this. I don't think they will. But that would have been cool for the first couple of chapters, is showing, like, walking the audience through what led to this event.
Mm-hmm. They did, technically, this was another one of those games that had multimedia tie-ins. So they there was a comic book series, and there was a film, a terribly, terribly animated film that kind of had that stuff kind of explained to it. But yeah, I get where you're coming from, Mike. In the story in itself, and that's where this game actually gets a lot of criticism, is that you kind of feel like something, you missed a chapter or something like that. Like, you're, but
well, it's fine to jump to the action, but goddamn.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, but I also think it's interesting to come into a scenario after everything is, like, truly boned. Like, the Resident Evil 2 to Resident Evil 1, you know, all the stuff is starting to happen in Resident Evil 1. Resident Evil 2, it's all gone to shit. And so I think that's, it works especially for this game. But I can also, at the same time, see the criticism of, like, you don't really know what's going on here, and that kind of takes away from it.
Yeah. Well, I do like, I like, because, you know, like, they had the audio things you could find and stuff, like yep. in everything, you know. I always like that.
BioShock.
Yes.
That's the name of it.
Well, and I haven't played System Shock, but I'm assuming that it was very similar, that it did that kind
of
stuff.
It's a weird thing of, like, System Shock has so much influence on games, but I don't know if I've ever met a person that's ever actually played it.
Just game developers, I guess.
It was too inaccessible. Like, I didn't have a PC back then. There was no way, and I was a fucking kid. There was no way I was going to be able to play it. And it's not like they've made it available for us now. So I would love to go back and play System Shock, but I'm not going to do it unless it's easy for me.
That's the thing I find most fascinating about that is just it's never been made accessible. It's like they're trying to keep it out of the hands of people that would like to play it because they so many games that they enjoy have been, you know, influenced by this game. But it's just, I guess it's just still exclusive to PC and probably Steam, or, you know, which is PC.
I wonder.
I love that you're continuing to use the term influenced instead of stolen.
Mike, is there anything that, new
I'd,
under
I'd
the
be
sun?
Remiss if we didn't circle back to all of the things that they have blatantly ripped off, whether they choose to admit it or not, even as far as how the story starts.
Okay.
Oh, there's an enhanced edition.
You get a transmission from a ship seeking help. And a lone, silent protagonist shows up.
Hey, he's not silent.
Huh, what is
breathes real loud.
Yeah.
He's especially loud in the sequel. He talks all the time to the detriment of the game.
Whoa, what's this? I'll go look at it.
All right, but let's not pretend like...
I'm very upset that they never mention Metroid Prime because it's a straight rip.
What year did Metroid Prime originally come out?
2001? 2002, maybe?
Okay.
Like, it was... And it's the same with BioShock. Especially since you said that they had a really quick development time. Like,
yeah,
they...
18 months.
They saw this game. They knew how big it was. And they capitalized on it. Like, I think that they got a team of people who were excited, but there's very little that I could say they did originally. Even with the fucking, what do you call it? The swervy statue?
Yeah, the marker.
That just made me think of 2001.
Yeah.
It is. Like, there's not one thing in this game that I can't directly pull back from something else. I mean, I know that's the way that we're going. Like, you're never gonna have anything truly original, but it's not gonna be as blatantly ripped off as it was in this game, and that's why I don't think it deserves the praise it gets.
Wow. I'm glad you had a moment to get that off your chest, Mike.
But I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's good. I would be one to just say that all games, all pieces of media are built on the things that came before it.
What is that? All art is derivative?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, yes. And then there's tons of stuff, like, but are you going to say that? How far?
Well, you, like, I mean, maybe because you treated it as like, oh, well, it was an homage to this. There was no homage. There's a difference between like
no. Let me stop
tribute
you right
to
here.
Something you're borrowing and just like, nope, this was our.
No. You have one issue with it being not an homage. Your only thing that you're upset about is because they didn't happen to list Metroid Prime as their primary source. They happen to list other games which are very heavily homaged as their inspiration for this game.
Not as much, though.
But because Mike sees too much Metroid Prime, and these guys didn't immediately say Metroid Prime, it's a hack job. It's a total ripoff. No, not because it has such and such from Silent Hill, has such and such from the movie Alien, has such and such from Resident Evil 4, which they are blatantly obvious. Like, we were heavily, heavily influenced by Resident Evil 4. That's why that camera, as soon as you aim, snaps right to Isaac's ass, because it's exactly like what it did for Leon. But no,
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, because God forbid they left out Michael's one of his favorite game series. And like I said,
well, no, I'm not even talking gameplay stuff. I'm talking story and aesthetic.
Space.
Mike, you do know that like sci-fi was invented before 1986, and therefore even Metroid has its origins and owes, for God's sakes, Mike, her name and the name of the villains. Ridley is a homage to Ridley Scott.
Now you're mistaking the difference between homage and theft.
What if homage was pronounced like, homage?
It would be wrong.
But it's spelled that way.
I'm just saying, Mike, if they said if the opening credit said Dead Space and it said lovingly influenced by Metroid Prime,
I truly
you
think
would be
that Josh is incapable of understanding what I'm saying now.
I don't even understand this argument anymore.
And that's
like
why
naming a character that is totally different and saying, yeah, we're going to name it Ridley after Ridley Scott, who made Alien, who they were influenced by. That is totally different than copying straight fonts, straight design aesthetics, and slapping it on as your own.
Yeah.
Like, they should have...
I'm just saying.
Do you understand what I'm talking about, though? Like, there is a clear difference in referencing the greats who came before you and just straight up stealing. Let's talk about comedy, like Carlos Mencia or any of those comics who got busted for straight up stealing other people's jokes.
Yeah.
Like, there is a very finite line that can be crossed where it's, yeah, you know, I'm influenced by the way that, like, his kind of rhythm, his the way he phrases his sentences, like, that's all kind of stuff that you can learn from and grow. And then there's just blatant theft, and that's what Dead Space is. It's blatant theft.
They didn't, you know what, they should have, because sometimes you can steal something and cross that line so far that it comes back around to acceptable. Case of Deadly Premonition.
Well, and that's the thing that's going to ultimately damage art, is whenever this kind of shit does happen, like, let's think, there's an entire new generation who only knows Dead Space. They don't know all the stuff that came before, and if Dead Space isn't doing what it should be doing to give props to what came before that truly did influence their design stuff, then we end up in this idiocracy situation that we're slowly climbing toward.
So, Mike, So you think that the way that Dead Space presents their menus, presents their stuff in the third person, like I said, it's like it's snapping up so you, the player, can see it. And Samus, it's all in her visor, right? So, like, that's technically first person.
You keep dwelling on the strict gameplay aspect. I'm talking about, like...
How dare I dwell on the gameplay aspect if I'm talking about playing a game?
When it's not the argument that I'm making.
Uh-huh. I'm listening. But you know.
We're sitting here talking about this game like it's high art, right?
No. And I don't think that either of us believe this game is high art. Do either of us believe Metroid Prime is high art? No.
Yes.
I'm just saying Mikey's in his feelings because they didn't announce Metroid Prime is being their primary source. And are you sure Metroid Prime was 2001? Doesn't it seem like it needs to be
2001 or 2002? It was very early into the GameCube's lifespan.
At least it just seems like it would be later to me. But
Metroid Prime.
Do it.
2002. Released November 2002.
Okay.
Hey, it looks similar. Yeah, it's got blue.
There you go. It's got blue.
That HUD is. So similar.
Blue on the inside. I've looked at the images tab now. I only see pictures of the game case.
Like the whole logs?
Yeah, but you've been finding text documents and stuff like that in games for years before that. I'm just saying it was very similar at the time. Like tons of games did that. We praised BioShock for doing the audio logs and the text logs. This game does it too. It was just popular at the time. There actually is
Horizon
a wonderful.
Zero Dawn also does that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not talking about strict logs. I'm talking about logs in the font, in all of the.
Mike, is it possible? Just possible. That maybe there is some sort of technical limitation that results in the same font being used by several different games and game systems?
On the NES, yes.
And Mike, are you there? It looks like you froze.
No, I'm there.
Okay. Like
I said, on the NES, yes.
NES, yes.
Okay.
There was, and even then, it wasn't. Like, you could still change up your font. None of that has changed. It's not like when you open up Microsoft Word vanilla version and you only have whatever the default font stuff. Like, these are fucking game programmers. They can make whatever the hell they want to be a font.
Okay.
I have defeated Josh!
If I say we're defeated, I'm defeated, can we end this episode?
All in all, I did enjoy the game, though.
I'm glad. I'm glad you did. Yeah, like I said, I'm glad that...
It definitely needs the fresh coat of paint, and it's good to know that it's coming.
I agree as well. I think... And they've also been very quick to say that they're not making any changes to the new game. They're going to...
Except for the sound design, hopefully.
Oh, Mike. They're gonna tune that up.
I won't even say design. I will say mixing.
Okay. I hope that...
Balance.
The interesting thing I think about it, they mentioned, is that they're going to try to remove some of the cut features. Like, nothing huge gameplay-wise, but like some... quality of life features, like they're gonna get rid of the mass driver. Yes, thank God. That was the most annoying part of this game by far. I was like, I get what they were going for. It's like, hey, this is a quick little fun little change of pace gameplay. Didn't know it was gonna be the most annoying and frustrating part of that game. I've played through this game several times, and I can tell you emphatically that I have quit at least three times when I got to that Mass Driver, and I'm like, this is not worth me going through this just to get to the last couple of levels. I'm good. Bye. So they're going to remove that. That's great. I'm very happy about that.
Good. But, I'm excited to watch it.
To watch the new one.
I prefer to watch like scary games, like so you. Okay. I think I end up enjoying them more too because I don't get frustrated with trying to play them.
I get it. I really do. That makes a lot of sense actually.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
it kind of sucks like to have a because horror is all in the experience, and one thing that has always been a takeaway for me in horror games is. Because I feel this compulsive need to explore every inch of the environment to make sure I find everything. And for me, it's all right, I guess. But if I did a Let's Play, it would be the worst Let's Play in the world.
No, I would watch that.
Like, oh my God, there's somebody in danger over there. But I better go and look at this crevice.
I would like that because a lot of times I prefer the atmosphere over like the, oh, this is our big scary stuff. So... I think
horror games are still one of the hardest things for people to knock down. It always seems like they're either, wow, that was really, really good, or it's, wow, that was really, really bad. Like, you can get a nice 50% type game, but horror is always really hit or miss. Like, I've seen just recently, like, when I was moving stuff around, I saw that I somehow had a... copy of the game Murdered Soul Suspect. Must have been one of those ones I got free when I bought two other games or something like that, and I remember playing it and being like, it's super bad. Like I even think about the other one made by the guy that made Resident Evil 4, The Evil Within.
Oh yeah,
the first one was awful.
I watched that.
The second one was much better. But
that's like Silent Hill Downpour. That's when I was able to more than whoever was playing it because I got to enjoy all the atmosphere and hear the creepy, like, what, Moonlight Sonata coming from the save point and stuff. Except that game seemed cheap as hell because the zombies can shoot you.
Silent Hill. Go ahead.
Since we're talking about the music, we do have to complain. Like, another huge gripe for me is... the fucking Twinkle Twinkle Little Star saying creepily. Like, how many times does that need to be a trope in horror games? Like, oh, it's got to be, like, we have to incorporate a kid or something childlike, but twist it a little bit so that it's eerie. Like, let's get over the, like, weird creepy kid thing.
They should just sing the alphabet.
It's been overplayed so much.
What about using music from like the 40s and 50s in post-apocalyptic games? I think that's a trope now too.
You know what? Silent Hill Downpour played Born Free. So that's like mixing it because it was like horror, but I think that type of music, like 40s, 50s, sort of romantic things in a horror thing is way better than in post-apocalyptic.
I think we are seeing the next generation of that really cheesy, overplayed thing. It's have you guys noticed in a lot of trailers for reboots, they'll pull something, they'll pull a song that was popular at the time, but then like make it eerie or suspenseful
instead.
It's an epidemic.
Yeah, man, a couple of them sound good, but it's getting to lose losing its novelty.
Yeah, it's like, especially like when they just change the tempo of a song, like that was like happy and upbeat and drop it way down so it's slow and melodic.
Suicide Squad trailer.
Yeah, or it's just like one line, like everybody's doing something. Hey, little sister.
Yeah. But it does work every now and then. Like, the one that I always come back to was, and this is a back in the day, Mad World.
Oh, yes.
From Donnie Darko. Like, changing that really worked.
Was that Gears of War?
Yeah, I think they used it in Gears of War and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's, I'll agree with Mike. It's definitely overused.
man. Music. Well, the WandaVision trailer is good.
Wow. This episode went places. Spaces, you might even say. But unfortunately, at the end, like all of us, it ends up dead.
It fell flat.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye. Yeah.
I'm Josh.
Yeah.
I'm Mike.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Ooh, that was a good one, Mike. I like that.
Bye.